Support for WYPR comes from the Park School of Baltimore's Saturday morning Rise and Shine activity sessions for children 3 to 5 years of age. Nature expedition through the Park School woods is April 20th. parkschool.net/shine.
I'm Tom Hall. Welcome to Midday. General Colin Powell, the country's first African-American chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of State, has passed away at the age of 84 due to complications from COVID-19. Today on Midday, Senator Ben Cardin, a longtime member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, joins me to reflect on General Powell's groundbreaking legacy. Plus, a new report examines Baltimore's public transportation system, not just from the perspective of its effectiveness and access, but also its impacts on public health. My guests are the co-authors of the report. Samuel Jordan is the co-founder and president of the Baltimore Transit Equity Coalition. Dr. Megan Latshaw is a researcher at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. They join me today on Midday after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for joining us. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell died this morning at the age of 84. In a statement posted on Facebook, his family said that General Powell was fully vaccinated, but he died due to complications from COVID-19. General Powell was the first African-American to serve as National Security Advisor, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and Secretary of State. Joining me to reflect on the legacy of General Powell is Senator Ben Cardin, Maryland's senior senator who has served for years on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Cardin, welcome. It's nice to talk to you, sir.
Tom, it's good to be with you.
So your reflections on the legacy of Colin Powell.
Well, Secretary Powell was a great American, great soldier, patriot, person who believed in our country. I don't really think he had a partisan bone in his body. He only cared about our country. He served our country as a soldier. He served our country as a diplomat. He served our country as a strategist. Just an incredible individual. I was privileged to work with him, I will always treasure those opportunities.
As a longtime member of the Foreign Relations Committee and a person who's been involved in international affairs for a long time, how do you assess his effectiveness as Secretary of State, head of the Joint Chiefs? He was, of course, the first African-American to hold so many of positions that he achieved in his long career. But overall, how do you think he guided the country during those periods where he was given the chance to do so?
Tom, I always felt that General Powell would always tell you his best advice, what he thought was right, that he would always put the interests of the United States first. He wanted to serve our country, and he served in so many different ways, extremely talented. It's interesting that, of course, he will be remembered for the presentation to the United Nations in regards to weapons of mass destruction, which was based upon information from the intelligence community that ended up being wrong. I am convinced that Secretary Powell thought that information was accurate, and that's the reason why he made that presentation. His credibility was unquestioned. He was a person who was had credibility with Democrats, Republicans. What he said, we took as his best assessment and belief, and he served our country with great honor and distinction.
That of course, was in 2003. He said that he, later very much regretted that whole incident. What do you think the country learned from that incident? How has it shaped foreign policy since then?
Well, it shows that we don't always get it right, that we have to recognize that circumstances change quickly and that we need to make sure that we get multiple sources to confirm information, particularly before we use our military. So I think we learned from that incident, and quite frankly, there was a mistake made, and we paid a heavy cost for it. But I don't really lay that at the responsibility of Secretary Powell. I think that was a failure of the executive branch, and it is something that we learned from, and hopefully we're moving on and not making the same mistakes in the future.
He was the first African-American to serve in a number of capacities, as I mentioned, the first National Security Advisor, the first Chairman of the Joint Chiefs to be an African-American, the first Secretary of State. What do you think it has meant for race relations and for the advancement of people of color in and out of government, given his service?
Well, he was a remarkable leader, and I think he became a symbol that the American dream is alive and well, that we judge people on their abilities, not on the color of their skin, and that you can achieve whatever you can with the talent God has given you and your determination. So he was clearly an inspiration to young people that you can achieve your dreams. You just have to work hard, and you want to be judged by your record and not by your skin color or other issues that have really nothing to do with your talents.
If you just joined us, my guest is Senator Ben Cardin. We're discussing the legacy of the former Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of State Colin Powell. He died this morning from complications related to COVID-19 at the age of 84. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. And Senator, in terms of General Powell's influence on the military, he was the architect behind the Persian Gulf War in 1991. He served so many different administrations. He was also the person who planned the invasion of Panama back in 1989. There are those, the New York Times this morning, commenting how General Powell reshaped the American Cold War military. He was the head of the armed forces at a time that was a very pivotal time in American military history. Talk about your assessment of him as a military strategist and as a person who did have a great influence on the sort of the new armed forces of the United States coming out of the Cold War era.
Well, General Powell was a soldier first. He wore the uniform of our nation proudly and defended our freedoms. He then was in the position to recognize that times were changing and the use of our military needed to change with the times, that the threats against America and against democracy are different than they were when he first took the oath as a soldier in defense of the United States. So he helped shape America's military strength to meet the challenges of today. And he did that with the total support of both the civilian and military leadership of our country. He was able to bring together what I think our founding fathers wanted, and that is the civilian control of our military, but professional soldiers whose information and advice was critically important for making those decisions by our leaders. So he transitioned our Defense Department into a modern capacity to be able to be the strongest power to defend freedom.
And in terms of his political influence, he served in George H.W. Bush's administration and then President Bush's son, George W. Bush's administration. He was Secretary of State in the W. Bush years. And then he made a decision to endorse Barack Obama over John McCain, another military guy, a person who he knew, General Powell knew quite well. That must have been a very difficult decision for him. And what do you think that decision meant for the future of American policy and American politics?
Tom, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think it was a difficult decision for him. I always remember his lines that he really was not a Democrat or a Republican. He voted for Democrats and Republicans. He liked to think he voted for the person he thought would do the best job. And at times it was Republicans, at times it was Democrats. Yes, he was appointed by Republicans to very important positions, including the chair of the Joint Chiefs, National Security Advisor. Those positions were appointed by Republican presidents. But he served the nation. He took the oath of office to the Constitution, not to a particular individual party. And I'm not sure he was a Democrat or a Republican But I know he voted for Democrats and Republicans because he thought that was in the best interest of our country. He truly was a patriot to America. He was loyal to our country, to our Constitution, not to a political party.
Yeah, no, I take your point. He was a registered Republican, of course, he had been courted by both Republicans and Democrats to join tickets or to run. He flirted with the idea of running for president himself. What have we learned from General Powell's life and legacy when it comes to military experience and how that applies, or if it applies, in your view, to public service in the legislature or in the executive branch? There are people who certainly run on it, people who make a point to make sure that voters know that they've got military experience when they are running for office to serve in the Congress, to serve in the Senate, or to serve as president. What do we learn from Colin Powell when it comes to the importance or the impact of military service on public political service?
Well, we've had great soldiers who have gone on to political positions, such as General Eisenhower, who became, of course, President Eisenhower. We could go back further than that and find other generals who became presidents of the United States. So we know that being a soldier can prepare you for public life, including elected office, but you have to be able to distinguish between the civilian of our military and a soldier's responsibility to follow the chain of command and to recognize that decisions are made under our Constitution by the civilian leadership. And that's where I think, again, Secretary Powell understood that. He transitioned so well from his military service to serving in the executive branch of government at the highest levels. So your experience as a soldier can very much help you form your ability to want to serve in other capacities, including elected office. And again, Secretary Powell really demonstrated the appropriate balance, a great soldier, a great diplomat, a great American.
Senator Ben Cardin is Maryland's senior senator. Senator, thank you for your time and reflections on Secretary Colin Powell. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. We've lost one of our great Americans.
In 2012, General Powell appeared in Washington at an event related to the publication of his book, It Worked for Me, in Life and Leadership. Former NPR host Robert Siegel asked him about his 13 rules, which had recently been published in Parade magazine. Bob asked him about rule number 13, which says, "Perpetual optimism is a force multiplier." Here's what General Powell had to say.
It's very important that that rule had to be the summary of the 13 rules. And it links to the first one also that says, you know, things will get better in the morning. And I start that description by saying that's not necessarily the case, but it's the attitude you should have. Things are going to get better. You're going to make them better. It is within your life to make things better. And then if you go through the rules and end up with perpetual optimism is a force multiplier. Force multiplier is a military term. We're always looking for ways to enhance the power of our force, whether it's by communications or supply lines or whatever it is. But we look for things that make the force more effective. And so I have found in working with human beings, and this book is all about working with human beings, I have found that if you as a leader or a manager convey an attitude of perpetual optimism, we can do it, we can do it, then that will infect an entire organization and it becomes a force multiplier. They can do more than they thought they could do. I also, coming to Robert's real question, as I go around the country, I see all of the problems that are discussed here in Washington so very, very often. The unemployment rate, the fact that our economy is just starting to come back but not fast enough. The problem with overseas ventures that we have been involved in and other crises around the world. But I also see, as I go around the country, people who are hard at work, people in business, and I talk to business leaders, financial leaders, mass audiences, I still find that people are optimistic about this country. They have confidence in who we are and what we are, and almost Reagan-like confidence among the people. And if there's one thing that's really bugging him, is that they sense that their leaders in Washington don't understand how much confidence and optimism is still out there, and they're waiting for the leaders in Washington to cut through the Gordian knots of conflict and lack of compromise and get this country moving.
Former National Security Advisor and Secretary of State Colin Powell speaking in 2012. He died this morning at the age of 84. General Powell was fully vaccinated against the coronavirus, but he is one of the few people to die of a breakthrough infection related to COVID-19. The rate of vaccinated people who die from COVID is about 2 people per 100,000. Unvaccinated people die at a rate that is more than 6 times higher, 13 per 100,000 people. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.